Kilo Vault. It's a very lovely lady. Lita Ford.
Hello.
Vixen, how are you guys doing today?
Great, great.
Opens now.
Welcome inside the Kilo Vault for some quality time with Def Leppard frontman Joe Elliott. And the coolest thing about this is we go back to 1983, just as the band was fixing to become Def Leppard. They were still on tour opening, but they were soon to become one of the biggest rock bands of all time. How big? You look at the numbers, they've sold over 100 million albums. They have two albums, and they're rare air, two albums that each sold 10 million. Pyromania, which the band was on tour with at the time of this interview, and of course Hysteria would be the other one. That one as a kid I listened to all the time. My old Walkman, lay outside, look at the stars, listen to Rocket. The band holds a fond place in my heart for sure. But in this interview, Joe almost loses me as a fan because he calls one of the greatest bands of all time a horrible English band. I was like, I had to rewind it and listen to it again to make sure I heard it correctly. And I did. Plus, he talks about, you know, fame and the band starting to boom and how tough that is because interaction with fans suddenly becomes more difficult. He talks about a near riot at a record store in Denver. I think it's just a cool time to be able to peer in his mind just before they would become the band that sold 100 million albums. So let's do it. From April 1983, Def Leppard lead singer Joe Elliott in the Kilo Vault.
Kilo 94 and rock and roll from Led Zeppelin. A very special person on the phone right now, Joe Elliott of Def Leppard, has just called. And Joe, you're saying that you're on a harrowing tour, but you're ready to rock tonight, is that right?
Yeah, really.
Good. Well, a lot of people, the weather's been changing, and you haven't had any word on, I mean, the show is on tonight, no matter what.
Oh, really, yeah, as far as I'm aware. I mean, we'd go on if it's snowing.
Uh-huh. It probably will be.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, probably will.
I
mean, grim here, it's horrible and wet and rainy and even more horrible, but it'll be all right once we get going, I suppose.
Why'd you name the new LP Pyromania, Joe?
It's a funny story, actually. Well, I mean, obviously you know what it means. It's like an obsession for starting fires. And what happened, when we were doing the album, we had such a difficult time trying to get a guitar sound that we were on the verge of throwing all the amps into a big skip and burning them. And so we ended up getting christened Pyromaniacs. So we ended up calling the album Pyromania.
I see. Well, it's definitely burning rock and roll.
We weren't burning down the Houses of Parliament, as some people have criticized us for doing. Actually, it's not really a criticism. It might have been a good idea if we'd have done that.
You're one of the youngest rock and roll bands around. Are you guys, you know, you have to be 21 to go to bars in Colorado. Are you guys that old yet?
Some of us are, but I'm not going to tell you who.
Okay.
The rest of us just blag it.
I won't know who to ask out then, that's for sure.
We always manage to get a drink.
Uh-huh. I bet you do. I read in a recent interview that you don't really like being called a heavy metal band. How come?
Well, I don't actually be mind called a heavy metal band if somebody can think of another term for bands like Motorhead and what have you. When people that aren't actually involved in the field of rock music start calling bands from Motorhead to Journey heavy metal, then there's something wrong somewhere because they're like light years apart musically, but they're put in the same bag. I mean, I know it's just a convenient term of reference, you know, putting somebody, a name on a certain kind of band. I mean, it's not the fact that I don't like being called heavy metal. We always say hard rock, because there is a difference. To me, there's a difference. To the whole band, there's a difference. But when bands like Motorhead and all these other horrible English bands get called heavy metal, and we get called heavy metal, it's kind of a bit frustrating, because people that have never heard Def Leppard are going to think we sound like Motorhead, which we don't. You know? So that's the only reason why. I mean, other than that, I don't mind what people call us. You could call us country and western if they want, but I mean, we're not.
As long as you listen, right? I hear that you guys got mobbed yesterday in Denver. Was that the first time that happened to you?
The first time it's happened in Denver. we've actually, it's getting really difficult for us now to do any in-stores or anything, which we really enjoy doing, because without trying to sound big-headed or anything, we're just getting too big, I think. I don't really know what it is. But, I mean, when we turned up yesterday, it was the most frightening thing I've ever seen. There was, like, 2,000, 3,000 people all clambering about the record racks. And We even made the television, you know. I mean, we apparently that somebody got arrested, I think, you know. It was really frightening. We had to leave after about 25 minutes or so because it was just... it was really well organised, but just even then it still went out of control. And we had to leave, and it just got ridiculous. People were climbing up the record racks and what have you. So it was unfortunate. I'd like to say, if there's anybody listening that was there, we're sorry that we couldn't stay, but it was cancelled. We didn't actually pull out. We were advised to pull out by the police.
Did they want autographs or did they want you?
Well, most of them would, like, I think, would have been happy with an autograph, but there were one or two people that were really, you know, looked like they were going to try and rip our hair out.
Well, your band has gone in a few short years from relative rock and roll obscurity to major sold-out shows across the country. Do your friends treat you differently? I bet your lifestyle has changed, or do you still do the dishes on occasion?
I always do them because nobody else will, you know. It is difficult. You know, the thing that I'm starting to notice now, because, I mean, the band has risen to this kind of popularity literally in 2 or 3 months, you know. Before the album came out, we were, I mean, High and Dry went gold, but we were still relatively, not unknown, but just on the bottom rung of the ladder, and now we're kind of climbing it pretty well. The thing that I find difficult now, it's very difficult to talk to fans anymore, because there's not one or two stood around the back door, there's like 600 or 700 sometimes, and if you talk to one, the others kind of feel left out, and if you don't talk to any of them, everybody thinks you're a superstar. So you're kind of stuck in, and there's nothing you can do about it, you know, you're stuck in the middle, and somebody's going to be disappointed somewhere along the line. But there's nothing we can do about that now, you see. That's like going back to the in-store thing. I don't think we'd be able to do any more unless we do some in places like Siberia, you know, where we've never released records.
You're trapped by your own success.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it's great in one way, but it's disappointing in another, like I said, you know. When you want to talk to the fans, and now it's very difficult because there's quite a lot more than there ever has been before.
There was a song on your first LP that was called Wasted, and a lot of American kids interpreted it one way, yet in reality you meant it another way. Is that right?
Yeah, and it is in a sense. I mean, it's one of those songs that it was like, it was tongue-in-cheek twist about it, you know. It's like you could take it either way and it would mean almost the same thing, if you get what I'm trying to say. I wrote it as, I mean, it's not really, it is anti-drug in a sense, but it's written from the point of view of somebody that's, hooked on drugs or whatever. Not that I was. It's a total fantasy thing. Most of my lyrics are. You know, I'm not very good at writing about experiences because I'm just not, you know. I've just got a better imagination than I have on the experience side, so I always write normally from things that I make up and what have you.
It's what inspiration is all about.
Yeah, and Wasted was, a lot of people took it like, you see, they didn't really take it the wrong way, they took it the right way because it could mean that as well, but I didn't write it that way, it just turned out that way. And I don't mind, because, I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting wasted, I mean, we do it every night. Only on drink, though, only on drink.
Really? You worked with AC/DC producer Mutt Lange on, I guess it was your last album, or did you use him on the other two?
We used him on High and Dry and on Pyromania.
What a great sound that guy puts out in the studio.
Really, yeah, he's tremendous. He's the best knob twiddler in the world.
Think so, huh?
Yeah, the best rock producer.
The vocals sound wonderful.
Sorry?
The vocals on the LP?
Oh, yeah. He does kick me around the studio quite a lot, you know. I tend to get very lazy in the studio because it's so boring. If you can imagine going on stage in front of 15,000 people, you know, for 8 months a year, and then when you're the other four or whatever, you're in the studio or you're writing, and it's just literally brick walls and carpets and pianos and microphones and things like that, it's so frustrating and boring that you tend to kind of lack a certain amount of discipline, or I do at least. And somebody like Mutt is politely kicks you around the studio a bit and tells you to get it right, you know, which is what you need, really, you know, which is what I need. I can do it on my own once I'm in front of a lot of people, But when I'm left to my own devices, as in the studio and what have you, sometimes I can get a bit lazy and I don't always try as hard as I should do. But he makes sure that, you know, I do. And same for the rest of the band, really.
Okay, Joe. Well, let's come back in a minute and a half with more from Joe Elliott of Def Leppard on Kilo.
945 South 8.
We're Kilo 94, and with me on the phone is Joe Elliott of Def Leppard. And Joe, the show is on tonight with Billy Squire. There was one question. This is kind of controversial. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to the Def Leppard Billy Squire show, and some people are going to the Billy Squire Def Leppard show. How do you think Billy feels about that?
Yes, very controversial. I've no idea. I think we both understand the position that we're in. Billy is the headline act, and we respect that because, you know, the guy has sold a lot of records and he's very good at what he does. He also respects the fact that we are an up-and-coming young English rock band that are probably selling him quite a lot of tickets. But the fact is that we are the opening act, and, you know, we have to respect the headline act for what they are. You know, they get the whole lighting show, they get the stage and what have you, and we only get half of it because it's, you know, it's theirs. They pay for it and they just let us use it. So obviously if there's a lot of people come to see us, then I don't really think they're going to go on disappointed because we play for an hour anyway. We're not doing just 40 minutes or anything. We play for a full hour. So and we do get, you know, he gives us quite a lot of the lights. I mean, when all said and done, it represents the band, you know. I mean, like, we couldn't be any better if we were opening up for anybody else. The fact is that as soon as we finish with Billy, we go out headlining anyway, and then people for the first time in America will be able to see the full Def Leppard show, because that's one thing that nobody in America has ever seen, unless they were lucky enough to travel to England or something.
What's the difference in your acceptance, basically, between England and America?
Well, we're far bigger over here than we are in England. We started off really successful in England, and then all of a sudden the press started giving us a lot of backlash, which the English press seemed to do. See, the kids are really good in England, the fans are great, but the press, they stink. They've got this habit of building up bands and then pulling them back down again. You know, it's like they want to be part of the glory. As soon as they see a band that's nobody, that's playing in front of 11, 12 people, they start raving about them, saying they're going to be massive, and as soon as they are, and they feel like they've got left behind, they have to start pulling them back down to their level.
Everything is trendy in Britain.
Yeah, very trendy. The best thing that anybody can ever do is make it in England and then get out of it as quickly as you can, because you're going to be big in January and nobody's going to know who you are in February.
Where'd you get the name to your band, The Zoo?
No, I really don't know. It's I thought of it, but I don't know why. And I thought of it 2 years before the band even existed, but I don't really know why. It's just one of those things, you know. It's like, why is the world round? It just happened. It's weird. I was probably drunk one night and I wrote it down somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Bad and wasted.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Can you give us any kind of a private preview of what's going to be at the show tonight, just for Kilo listeners?
Well, it's going to be five young English idiots, or whatever you want to call them, on stage, just careering around like madmen and having a good time, which is what we like to do. You know, I mean, it's just powerhouse hard rock music, or whatever you want to call it, you know. There's 1,001 names that it all fit, I suppose. Even heavy metal.
Okay.
But, all we do is just go on stage for an hour and try and entertain and involve the audience, because it's their show as much as ours. You know, why just sit there and observe when you can actually be part of it? It's much more fun that way, I think.
I appreciate your calling.
No problem, enjoyed it.
And we'll get into some Def Leppard rock and roll now on Kilo 94. Def Leppard on Kilo 94 from High and Dry with Bringing on the Heartbreak. And Something from their latest effort, Pyromania and Photograph, Joe Elliott. What a very nice interview, and thank you very much to him for calling us this afternoon, giving us a preview of the show and a rundown of what's going on with the band. Joe Elliott, lead vocalist for Def Leppard. 8 minutes before 3 o'clock in the Alan White Show at Kilo 94. The kids can come down and so can you.
And there you have it. But yeah, you heard it. He called Motorhead a horrible English band. And I wonder what other bands. He used plural, so and Judas Priest would have been a big band at the time as well from England. Did not want to be lumped in with heavy metal, but I was like, what? It'll get you punched. In this day and age, you walk into a bar and say, you know what? Motorhead's a horrible English band. You get punched. I love the fact, too, he didn't know where the band name came from. He's like, I just kind of made it up. I was probably drunk. And he's all pontificating. Why is the world round? No one knows. Why is it a Def Leppard? No one knows. And then the Mutt Lang quote, he's the best knob twiddler in the world. You don't hear that every day. And you can kind of sense he was honestly disappointed that the interaction with fans was kind of going to the wayside because the crowds were just too big. You couldn't, go out and meet everybody. And if you could meet everybody, you don't want to leave people disappointed. So I think deep down, despite calling Motorhead a horrible English band, I think Joe Elliott's got a pretty good heart. And that's that. Unfortunately, don't know who the jock is. She was filling in for Alan White. But if you know that, if you have answers there, feel free. We have an email set up. It's thevault@kilo943.com. Any questions, comments, send them there. If you like what we do, tell a friend. Be sure to subscribe. Give us very high ratings. And if you don't, let's just keep that between you and me. Thanks for visiting the Kilo Vault.